free from the law. Oh, happy condition, Jesus hath bled, and there is remission. Cursed by the law, and bruised by the fall, grace hath redeemed us once for all. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burdens will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Now we are free, there's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me, oh, hear his sweet call. Come and he saves us once for all. Children of God, oh, glorious calling. Surely his grace will keep us from falling. Passing from death to life at his call. Blessed salvation once for all. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burdens will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Cling to the cross, your burdens will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all.
I love to hear Brother Shattuck sing about what God can do in a life when he saves it. Brother Shattuck, before he came to know Christ, played and sang in a rock band. God saved him, changed his life. Loves the Lord, loves his church, been a friend of this preacher down through the years. I thrill every time I hear him sing. And many of the men and women that stand up here, you know what God has done in their life. And what a marvel, what a blessing. Ask you to be in prayer for me. I will be preaching the next two Sundays and then the following Tuesday. I'm going to get a new knee. And I'm ready for a new knee. You know, I don't want a new wife. I don't want a new house. Thanks to my granddaughter, I've got new cars. But the pain connected with a bad knee is tough. And I'm looking forward to getting that new knee and being able to get on with my life. I don't like to have help going up and down stairs. Don't like to walk around looking like an invalid. And I know I'm getting old, but... Nevertheless, if I need any help from you, getting. Man. I'm still praying God will do the rest of his work on you. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for loving the Lord and loving his church. Thank you for not using Time Change Sunday as an excuse not to come. We need to learn to be faithful. And faithfulness is not limited just to good times. Thank you. It's a joy to have speaking for us today our special guest preacher, Evangelist Daryl Murphy. Brother Daryl Murphy has been in full-time evangelism for 20 years. And he travels all over America preaching the Word of God. We thank God for his part in our men's conference and then staying over to be with us today. Brother Daryl Murphy is from Rosemont, Minnesota. Now, Minnesota's that place way up yonder. where the Mississippi River is about that wide. You can step across the Mississippi in Minnesota. That's where it begins. But nevertheless, God reached way up there in the cold Northland, saved an old Irish boy, called him to preach, and is using him across the country. Now, I realize that most of us are from the South, and we have our own language. Sometimes in talking to Brother Murphy, I have to explain to him what I'm saying. So if you'll listen carefully, you'll be able to understand his foreign northern language. Thank God he uses the same Bible, worships the same God, and is trying to get people saved and on the right road. Brother Murphy, we're glad that you're with us today, and we welcome you to Trinity. Come now and preach to us, sir.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. What a thrill it is to be here. It's not so much the language, it's the dialect and the phraseology. Amen? Now, my wife is from the South, and so I was able to pick up on some of it, but she's from Oklahoma. And I know there's kind of an Oklahoma, you know, Texas thing that goes on with the border wars and all of that. But, I come from a state that borders Canada, preaching in a state that borders Mexico. And so, but, you know, that's just the grace of God. Amen? And that's just the grace of God, the wonder of God and all of that. And it's a blessing to be here. I thank the Lord for this church. This church reminds me of my home church, church I grew up in, old-fashioned, Bible-believing church that's doing a great work for God. Many things going on here, very busy for the Lord. I know that. And praise God for your steadfastness, your diligence in serving the Lord. This church is known all over the country, the world, for what you're doing here. Praise God for that. Your pastor is one of the kindest, gracious men that I've ever met, and praise the Lord for that. And I thank him because he believes in the ministry of the evangelist. And so if it wasn't for pastors such as yours who didn't have a desire to help evangelists, we wouldn't be around. And so what a blessing it is to know that there's a pastor here, a church here, that believes in the ministry of the evangelist. And so that's what God called me to do, and that's what I do in the word evangelist in the Bible. Amen. And so praise God for that. Take your Bibles now, turn to the book of Matthew and chapter 24. The book of Matthew and chapter 24. And I'm going to begin reading here in this passage of Scripture in the book of Matthew and chapter 24. I had a good time preaching to the men. It's always a blessing to be able to preach to a group of men that have a desire to serve the Lord. And that was a tremendous meeting, encouraged my heart to hear Brother Smith preach, and that really challenged my heart to be more diligent about serving God. And I've been preaching revival, traveling across the country, all over the place and preaching, but I still need preaching. I need to get preached at all the time. And so I thank the Lord for his message and the messages that I heard from Brother Dwayne Nichols, and they were such a help and a blessing to me, encouraged me to draw to a closer walk with God. Amen. And that's what preaching ought to motivate us to do, and be closer to the Lord. Get close to God, close as we can. Amen. And walk with the Lord. He left us an example that we ought to follow in his steps. And so praise God for that great example, and left us the Holy Spirit of God to empower us to do that. You say, those are big steps to follow. Yes, they are, but praise God, we've got the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, who will give us the power and the strength and the dedication that we need to serve the Lord, and I thank God for that. But notice here in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 35, now, Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Amen? Every word, every phrase, every verse in the Bible, profitable to God. And so if that is what you do here to stand up for the reading of the Word of God, that's fine, and we'll stand. And for the reading, I usually don't have people stand, but if that's the culture here, amen, I want to try to acclimate to the culture. And so praise the Lord for that. As you stand for the reading of God's Word, tonight I'll be preaching out of Psalms 119. And I'll be reading every verse. Amen? All right. Psalms. Matthew. All right. Notice what the Bible says here in verse number 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now, the reason why I usually don't have people stand is because I usually preach each verse while I read it. But we'll do a little different this morning. But notice here. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. And that's what I want to talk about, preach about this morning, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next scheduled event according to the Bible is the rapture. Now, the word rapture doesn't appear in our King James Bible, but it is a Greek word that has a definite meaning in relation to this truth concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the catching away of His bride, the church. Those that have been saved, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those of us that have been saved that remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Father, thank you for your love, your goodness. I pray you bless the message. In your name we pray. Amen. The next scheduled event according to the Bible is the coming of Christ. The disciples came to Jesus and asked him what would be some of the signs and different things that will happen in relation to your coming again. And so we began to instruct them and tell them of some of the events that will transpire prior to his coming, and then some things that will happen during the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he goes on to explain here, but as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, there were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until that day that Noah entered into the ark. So familiar things were happening that are happening now happened during the days of Noah, the faithful man of God that built that ark and preached, a powerful preacher preached the word of God. That's why preachers pound the pulpit, amen? He was the first pulpit pounding preacher. He pounded on the ark and he preached, amen? And so the Bible says, look at today and study about the days of Noah, and you'll have a general idea of the timing concerning the coming of Christ. We don't know the exact moment, but we do know that Jesus is coming again. And as you study the Bible, according to the events and the things in the Bible, what it has to say, the next scheduled event in this generation, in this church age that we are living, the next thing that is to happen according to the Word of God is definitely the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice the Bible says there, as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And the Bible says there in verse 39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two shall be in the field, the one taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, the one taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for in such for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, amen. God doesn't want us to be ignorant, amen. God wants us to know some things. That if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, because of all the things that I've just explained unto you, be ye also ready. Amen. He's telling that to the disciples who claim to know Jesus Christ, recognized him as the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, that would take people to heaven when they would die or take people in the rapture if God deems and wills it for us to experience. I'm looking for God to take us out in the rapture. Amen? And I'm like a Lester Roloff. I'm on a launching pad for Jesus. I'm just waiting for the blast off. Amen. And so here in this passage of Scripture, God explains to us about some things that will take place up to and some things that will happen at the very moment when Jesus Christ comes back for his church. Notice the Bible says when that happens, there'll be two in the field. One left and the other taken. There two women shall be grinding in the mill according to the Scriptures. And that's the day we're living in today. Amen. Women out in the workforce, out there working. Two women are going to be out there working. And the Bible says one will be taken and the other left, indicating to you and I that not only will people go up to meet the Lord in the air, there will be people left behind. And the message that I want to preach to you this morning is simply entitled, Don't Get Left Behind in 2009. Jesus could come back this very moment. I'm looking for Jesus to come back in 2009. Just like I look for Jesus to come back in 2008, I believe the Lord, even now, with the events and the things that are transpiring and what this government and what this nation, we've never seen the likes of it in this country, in this world, talking about a global economy right now. Putting those things in motion could happen at any moment. Mark it down, neighbor. The Bible declares that Jesus Christ is coming again. That's the next event. You don't want to get left behind in 2009. I mean, no sicker feeling that a person experiences than when they get left behind. I preached for an individual in Carterville, Illinois. He has six children. And I preached a revival. We went out to eat, took the whole family, my family, his family. There was about 12 of us, I guess. And we ate there and got done and left. We got back to the church, which was about 6 miles away. And one of the children of the pastor said, Dad, we left Joey behind. Their little six-year-old boy, they left him back in the restaurant. Didn't realize it. And so I got on the van with the pastor, and we went back, and there he was, 6 years old, little Joey, sitting on a bench there waiting for his daddy. His daddy left him behind. Boy, that gives you a lot of confidence in your parents, doesn't it? A lot of confidence in your mom and dad. He left me behind. My daddy left me behind. Oh, listen, but mark it down. I mean, he felt bad. It was a sick feeling. Praise God, we went back. But hey, listen, you get left behind, Jesus didn't come back for you. Are you with me? That's it. It's over. You get left behind, it's all over. No, listen, you don't want to get left behind. The Bible said that there'll be people left behind. What does the Bible admonish you and I as saved people? Hey, listen, we don't want to get left behind. And as saved people, we ought not to have a desire to leave anybody behind. Do everything in our power that we possibly can to get people to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The last thing you want is for somebody to get left behind. The last thing you want is for you to get left behind. Jesus is coming. One will be taken, the other left. Two women, one taken, the other left, indicating people will be left behind. You don't want it to be you. Who's with me? Say amen. He admonishes us to what? Watch. To be watchful. He admonishes us to be ready for in such an hour as you think not. The Son of Man cometh. And for the Christian, in relation to the coming of Christ, we ought to do everything in our power to evangelize. Amen. Evangelize. Get people saved. That's what the Lord told the disciples in the early church. Acts chapter 1, ye shall receive power and go out and evangelize. And as he had spoken that, he was taken up. Cloud received him out of their sight. And the two angels said to them that this same Jesus, as if see him go in like manner, shall so come again as you have seen him go. And so what did the Christians do? Went back to Jerusalem, got that church established, a going church, growing church, glowing church, and reaching people with the gospel, set out to evangelize. We as God's people need to understand in relation to the coming of Christ, we need to evangelize. Amen. But over in 1 John chapter 3, in verse number 2, not only evangelize, we need to sanitize. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 2 of 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth. Who's with me? Sanitize. You better make sure you're right with God when he comes back. You may not get left behind, but you don't want to leave this earth stained, corrupt, dirty with the sinfulness and self-righteousness of the individual. The Bible says there, even as he is pure. And so he says, in relation to the coming of Christ, we need to evangelize. We need to sanitize. Who's with me? Say amen. The church is his bride. Amen. And you don't want to see a bride who's covered, you know, with dirt and stained with wickedness, ungodliness. And so you want to have a pure, amen, pure, purify. And so we need to do everything in our power to make sure we are clean and right with God. Go back to the book of Matthew and chapter 24. Not only evangelize and sanitize, but then we need to recognize. What do we need to recognize? We need to recognize and understand the Bible says there that the Lord said, but know this. Know this, that the coming of Christ will be a sudden event. It'll happen. I mean very suddenly, quickly, faster than I can clap my hands. Faster than I can blink my eye. The Bible says he's coming in a moment, in a twinkle. A twinkle is faster than a blink. That's how quick, that's how fast, that's how sudden the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be. I mean, very swift, unexpected. At any moment, it could happen. No time to evangelize. No time to sanitize. You better recognize. You better be busy already about the Father's business to do the will of God. Why? Don't get left behind in 2009. Don't get left behind. It's going to be a sudden event. Pow! As lightning cometh out of the east, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Pow! That fast, that quick. I mean, just catch you off guard, unaware. Who's with me? Say amen. I was driving my car down the road the other day. Well, not say the other day, a year and a half ago. Some woman on a cell phone T-boned me out of nowhere. Pow! Hit me, total out my vehicle. My little 2000, well, it wasn't mine, it was my wife's. Amen. I was in trouble. But her gun got totaled out. Gave me lateral whiplash. Now, I know that sounds like a rock and roll band from the 80s. Lateral whiplash. But herniated one of my discs, got me in all pain. I wasn't traveling for 6 weeks, but God healed me up. Amen. But hey, listen, I mean, it just happened. The sudden event, Jesus is going to come that quickly. Any moment. Who's with me? Say amen. I mean, things happen so fast. Sometimes, you know, we just get to, it just sudden and quickly. Not only a sudden event, but a separating event. Two shall be there, one taken, the other left. Hey, listen, the coming of Christ will be a separating event. He's going to separate the lost from the saved. Who's with me? The saved will be dead. The lost will be left behind with no opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You'll be sent such a strong delusion. You only want to be saved. You don't want to get saved now. You won't want to get saved after the coming of Christ, after the rapture. You'll have no chance, condemned for all eternity to hell fire. It'll be a separating event. The Bible talks about Chapter 25, the 10 virgins, 5 were taken, 5 were left. The Bible talks about there the sheep and the goats and all of that. You know, saved people in the Bible are likened unto sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Sheep follow. Amen. Goats don't follow. Goats butt. That's all a goat wants to do is butt. Cantankerous. They'll eat anything. They'll eat a license plate. An old goat. And you know, a goat is a symbol of the devil. The rock and rollers and all of that make that sign, the goat sign. Who's with me? Say amen. I mean, it's just, that's what he's going to separate. He's going to separate the sheep from the goat. Sheep follow, goats butt. Well, I'd get saved, but. I'd come forward, but. Amen. We hear God's people acting like goats. Well, I'd be that soul winner, but. I'd drive that bus, but. I'd get involved, but. I'd give tithe, but. I'd get involved in faith promise, but. Who's with me? Oh, listen, when Jesus Christ comes again, we don't know who's saved. That day when the Lord comes back, he's going to separate the saved from the lost. Don't get left behind in 2009. It will be a sudden event. It will be a separating event. It will be a shocking event. Who's with me? Now, for the child of God, it shouldn't shock us. Now, it may surprise us, and there's a difference. You know, there's many times that the Lord astonished the disciples. And, you know, it was a surprise. But, hey, it shouldn't shock us as God's people. If we've been obedient to watching and we are ready. Who's with me? Say amen. But who's it going to shock? Look at verse number 48. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord, delay his coming. That's who's going to get shocked. Amen. People aren't looking for it. People don't believe it. People aren't watching. People aren't ready. They're going to be shocked. Who's with me? Say amen. Shocking event for people. And the Bible says there, begin to smite his fellow servant. And to eat and drink with the drunkard. Who's it going to shock? Those that lack concern. They're not concerned about it. They just shrugged it off. I've heard that preaching I don't know how many times. Pow! Who's with me? Shocked. And no compassion. You're fussing, feuding, criticizing, griping, bellyaching, complaining, and always butting the preacher and bucking the work of God. And you're smiting your fellow servant. You're going to be shocked when Jesus comes. Who's with me? Say amen. And then, you know, the Bible says they're eat and drink. No conviction out there in the world. No conviction about serving God. No conviction about separating from the world. Oh, listen, Jesus Christ is coming again. Don't get left behind in 2009. It's going to be a sudden event. Without notice, pow, Jesus Christ comes back. And splits the eastern skies. I was just recently in a funeral. I was at the funeral with the pastor for this young man that was a member of the church here. But 3 weeks ago, I was home, and one of our elderly church members had died. And I went to the funeral there, and my pastor was up here talking about this man, and then talked about the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. So I thought to myself, man, if that's true, and I know it to be true, and it's the Bible, during that whole funeral, I kept my eye on the lid of that coffin. Because I know that guy was saved. And if that lid comes up, man, we better get, Jesus is coming. Because he goes first, then I'm next. Amen. He's on my own. I told my wife, I said, if I do happen to die, I don't go into rapture, rig it up in such a way that when the preacher's up there preaching, that the lid of my coffin pops up. That'll get people's attention. It might get somebody saved, amen? have some kind of device in there that raises my hand up. Amen. People will be coming to the altar. Jesus is coming. He's coming. It's going to be shocking. Who's going to shock? Those that just aren't looking. Those that aren't saved. Don't get left behind, 2009. Back in 1980, when Mount St. Helens blew, a lot of that ash got up into the airstream and landed all the way over in Minnesota. A bunch of that ash from that volcano landed in Minnesota. Now, they told those people, listen, this mountain, this mountain that's a volcano is going to blow. Yeah, we heard that for 50 years. And we heard the rumbling for 50 years. And these are familiar signs. These are familiar sounds. We've heard this before, but hey, it's different. It's going to blow. You need to get out of there. Well, a bunch of people left, but a bunch of people stayed behind. And that mountain blew up. And they got covered with that lava. And they died. Why? Left behind. Don't get left behind. Are you watching? Are you ready? Are you ready? Amen? My dad taught my brother and I what it means to be ready. We used to, call for people to come and give us a ride to hockey practice. And my dad said, listen to me, I want you fellas ready. When that car pulls up, I want you ready. He said, I don't want the car to pull into the driveway and honk the horn, and then that indicates to you to go out and get in the car. No, I want you to be standing on the curb with your gear in your hand. That way when the car pulls up, you get in and drives away. That's being ready. That's being ready. So I'm afraid a lot of people aren't ready. There are going to be people left behind. It's going to be shocking. It's going to be surprising. It's going to be, hey listen, the coming of Christ is a sure event. It's going to happen whether you believe it or not. Don't get left behind in 2009. Father, thank you for your love, your goodness. I pray you take this message, Lord. I pray you burn it in our hearts. Help us, dear God. I'm thankful that January 11th, 1976, I trusted you as my Savior. Lord, to the best of my ability and knowledge, I'm ready. I'm watching, Lord. You come. I'm ready to go. Dear God, I pray that nobody here in this auditorium be left behind. Lord, we don't want to see anybody left behind. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you say, God spoke to my heart?